Yep.
And we're back with the Philip Duff Show, returning to the scene of the crime. Tony, cheers.
Cheers, Philip.
We held drinking Tony's booze at your palatial apartment, which almost burned down. I'm not pointing fingers, but it was definitely Frank Caiafa's fault. Then we had the earthquake of 24. Right? And we just saw the eclipse. And there were bomb sniffer dogs on the 6 train as I came down here. So, holy shit.
There could be more. It's been a week, I'll tell you.
It has been a week.
Oh, and a hit-and-run driver smashed into my building's awning and knocked it down.
Oh, that's what happened.
Contrary to rumor, it was not you, drunkenly.
I thought we just had a wild-ass time. That's what it was.
That's what it was.
Well, that's going to increase your monthly dues. Getting that sucker fixed.
No doubt. No doubt.
So we're drinking Procera Gin. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Procera Gin. Ask your bartender if Procera is right for you. Made from the always picked fresh, never dried juniperus Procera berries that grow a mere 55 miles from the distillery in Nairobi, Kenya, which, for my American listeners, is in Africa. Procera is
You may have
distilled.
Heard about it in yeah. a song by Toto.
Yes, indeed. The master distiller, Roger, is the godfather of all craft distilling in all of Africa, from Cairo to Cape Town. And the founders of Procera give back by planting a tree for every bottle sold. And it's an enormous fucking tree. It's like 60 foot high. It's not like those little shrubs they have in Italy. So the next time you're considering a martini, which should be very soon, ask your bartender if Procera is right for you.
And we are drinking fresh juniper berries. That's fresh, a big deal.
Never dried.
Indeed.
And every aspect of it, the bottle, the leather, the closure carved from palm wood, every botanical from Swahili lime to honey from the place I can't remember is African. So it's Africa in a glass. So get some Africa in your mouth if it hasn't been there lately. And we're drinking this on the rocks like proper madmen with just a touch of the Cokey Vermouth Di Torino Extra Dry from our dear friend Roberto Bava. This is not the same Cokey Extra Dry that they formulated especially for the Savoy. We're also not bothering with any of that dilution stuff. We're just having it over
Fuck that.
Gorgeous and enormous crystal clear ice cube.
Am I allowed to say that?
You can say that.
Okay, excellent.
You can say that. We just never invite you back on again.
Ah, yes. Sorry.
Come on, Zach. At this stage, you've got your smoking jacket for 5 appearances.
Oh, yeah. Getting there. Getting close.
No, I needed
very,
that.
Very tasty.
It really is. I might do more of this. So we've got some stuff to taste, but let's recap the most recent edition of Drink Tony's Booze. Working backwards,
yes.
Hit and run driver, knocked over the awning of your building. Somebody who probably was Frank, almost set the entire building on fire. But then again, indeed. His workbench was the top of your stove.
Yeah, not the greatest idea when you're already drunk and making martinis.
1960s Beefeater.
Those martinis were good.
They really were.
1960s Beefeater bottle given to us for reasons I cannot fathom by David Tao.
Oh, that was given by David. For some reason, I thought David gave a bottle of whiskey. Well, David, thank you very much. David Thomas Tao, T-A-O, on Instagram. Like, subscribe, and follow.
All over social media, that boy.
He is. God. But yeah, that's, in a certain sense, brought the house down. But yeah, we just moved everybody into the living room. And
indeed.
Everybody was as unruffled as they ever are in New York.
And, you know, we started listening to Steely Dan and the Bee Gees, which is never a bad thing. So
bit of Bee Gees,
that's where the
life.
Hi-fi is.
If you're listening to the audio version of the podcast, you're also listening to the only version because we don't do video. But I'm wearing a... very expensive tropical shirt, which I bought from a gentleman in Sydney who assured me it was an exact replica of the one that Ernest Borgnine wore in From Here to Eternity.
Wow.
He was.
I'm going to have to watch it again.
He was separating me from $200 Australian, but I like the story because after this, we are going to see the man who is rarely without a sarong on him. Brian Miller.
We do love Brian Evans as well.
Brian Evans, I'm going out for a drink with you on Friday. But Brian Miller, the hairy and besaronged tropical drinks genius, formerly of the Polynesian, before that, head bartender of a place you may have heard of called Death and Company,
never
also Pegu Club. So
never heard of that.
We'll be dropping by the offices of Vine Pear to see if his skills are still to scratch.
Very exciting. You know, I'd never really spoken with him before last week when I hung out with him at the launch party for Shakara Thai rum.
Oh, that stuff that Jan Warren had.
Yes,
it looked very fancy.
Delish. We have a bottle here if we feel like trying it later.
If you say it.
There you go.
If you say it, we've got to try it.
Sorry. Sorry, everybody. It is freaking fantastic. And and Brian and I got along like house fire talking about American sports and TV in the 70s.
Oh, there you
dating
go.
Ourselves. But,
oh, yes.
You know, it was fun.
Well, there'll be many a writer there. There'll be young Robert Simonson as well, because I was having a drink with him on Saturday.
Promising young writer.
That's this.
He's up and coming.
He's got opportunities. He's got chutzpah. He's got, you know, moxie.
Pizazz.
He's got moxie. He's got spunk.
And as they said on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, I hate spunk. But I do like Robert Simonson.
That's going to be much more amusing for my European listeners than my American ones.
Exactly. Sorry. Context. You'll just have to watch it on YouTube.
Exactly. You'll have to watch the version on this where we're holding up signs. But yeah, man, New York is in full swing. There are like four events a day.
It's crazy. It's killing me. So yeah, getting a head start with you. Then we're going to see Brian Miller. Then I've got something on the way home. I don't even remember what it is.
Seriously?
I just know it's, yeah. It's at Flatiron Room Murray Hill. It's something.
Tommy Tardy beckons.
Indeed.
It's Tommy's world. We just live in it.
Oh, God, it's so true. He could not make it due to having a very unpleasant medical procedure the other night.
Ow.
Which is very common.
The other night? Do they do a lot of medical procedures in the evening?
No, he was recovering from it at night.
Right.
Had it during the day. Men over 40, you know what I'm talking about.
Ah, yes.
Actually, that's women over 42, we all have one of those. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I'm taking this in new and interesting directions today.
There's a medical app. Please don't take medical advice from drinks writers or retired bartenders like me.
Correct.
Although, in fairness, I was going to be a doctor. So, you know, I'm not a gynecologist, but I'll have a look.
Wow.
Yeah.
We need to hear those stories.
Turned out there was already a Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, hey, I just learned something, which is completely not relevant to anything here. Did you know that architecture is the worst paid white-collar job?
I had no idea.
There's an architect who lives in my building. We've become friends because he likes to drink. It's not because I like designing buildings. And he was telling me, like, you study for 6-7 years and you never get so much as one single class about business or negotiation or leading or anything like that. And the consequence, he told me his first job in New York City paid something like $35,000, which slightly less than South African orphans earn selling string on the side of the road in Johannesburg.
Indeed.
I assumed that
for
architects were like, you know, doctors,
like building
and lawyers. And yeah, apparently it's because they suck at business.
Well, there you go.
Who knew?
Not me. I know very few architects.
True, but I always felt it was prestigious, you know, a lengthy
term. It is prestigious. It may not be lucrative, just like being a drinks writer is pretty prestigious. People are impressed.
In the sense that people send you bottles, not in the sense that anyone ever pays you.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But in the sense that people go, whoa, you're a drinks writer. How did you get that job? And I say, well, you have to enjoy not getting paid a lot, ever.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, speaking of Robert Simonson, I was chatting to him. He had just signed a contract for a new book at Random House. And I said, well, you know, logically, Random House shouldn't even have an address. But I said, it's essentially indentured servitude. Like, they should at least give you a couple of uniforms. You can go in the closet and take, like, two shirts and a pair of short pants and a pair of long pants because you won't get anything else.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, you get an advance and then you spend the rest of your life owing on that advance, I suppose.
Well, the biggest advance ever paid, famously, was the Death & Co. cocktail book. They got, like, 200 large.
My God.
Yeah. And apparently they did the right thing. Well, I know they did the right thing. They reached out to a lot of their former staff, former head bartenders, because they were including their cocktails and all that, and took care of them a little bit.
That's only fair.
They could have just taken the money and run. So hats off to raise a glass to Alex Day.
Indeed.
And Dave Kaplan and Ravi de Rossi and all the lieutenants and governors and generals that sailed the good ship.
I always wonder about not the semantics, but something like that.
If only there was a writer here who knew about words.
Yeah, you know, get half a martini into me and I'm incoherent.
You are, dude. What the hell?
On the rare occasions when I write articles that are basically compendiums of cocktail recipes, I always wonder, am I supposed to offer a percentage, which I do.
Of what you don't get paid?
Of what I, you know, and then they say, well, that's like $4, you know, my percentage. And then they laugh at me and say, it's fine, don't worry. But, you know, I think it's proper. But I don't know if that is engraved in stone etiquette that you do that.
Well, I mean, a big chunk of that book was recipes. Mm. So that makes sense. But if you write a 500-word article, and the recipe's like 20 words of that or 10, mm-hmm. you know.
Right. I did that for a magazine which shall remain nameless. Oh, so although it paid pretty well. No, Penthouse. It actually wasn't Penthouse because that would be a little prestigious.
That'd be amazing.
No, it was a prestigious magazine and it was a shortish article that was almost all recipes. And I got paid, you know, like $600 or something. And so it was... five recipes, and so I offered each creator of the recipe $50.
Right. Well, that's fair.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's an easier way to do that, you know, like you could tag somebody on Instagram or X and they just send you a payment request or something.
Oh, there you go.
Elon, if you're listening, I know you listen to the show. Have your minions put this in. And I when like you spin that. It off as a separate app, me and Tony just mm-hmm. want 1% of the IPO. That's all we want. We're not, exactly. not greedy. All we need is enough to buy a fire extinguisher for Tony's apartment.
You know, we actually had one here, but fortunately we did not need it. Thanks to the lightning fast reflexes of Amir Babayov. Of Ophelia Lounge.
Well, Israelis, they've got used to challenging circumstances. Oh, yeah. Especially lately.
Yeah, so he sprang into action.
If you're throwing a dinner party, always invite an Israeli or two. We had two. We had Yara and Amir.
We did. Yara either had left already or was just chilling
no,
out.
No, she
letting
definitely
Amir...
left. She was going on a date.
Oh, very nice. Very
yeah,
nice.
This is, of course, Yara Wood, the head bartender of Bushwick Bar in Tel Aviv, one of the hottest bars in town, who came to visit us in New York.
Is there a Tel Aviv bar in Bushwick?
There, if you're a Bushwick bar owner and you don't have a spot called Tel Aviv, it's time
there
to
should
up
be
your
a
game.
Sibling bar,
there
really right?
Be. Yeah, that's a great idea. But she had come to New York and she set up several dates because why not?
Heck.
Beautiful young single lady. And she was commiserating with my wife at your party. She's like, yeah, this one guy came in, sat down, and I looked at him. I'm like, I could bench press him. I don't know all that many, but I think the Israeli ladies are fairly tough because they've all been in the
they
army.
Have to
Everyone.
Be.
Everyone. They've all been in the army. So
they have a reputation, a good reputation of being tough.
I mean, is Gal Gadot out there? Who's another famous Israeli woman? Not that many. Singers, artists. I mean, I know more bartenders, obviously.
There was a famous Israeli singer, but it was years ago, and now I forget her name.
Well, there's the Hadid sisters, who I think are... Israeli, Bella Hadid and Gigi Hadid, and they're models.
Okay.
And socialites. But yeah.
Golda Meir. I mean, that's really...
Hey, Helen Mirren played Golda Meir in a recent movie.
Indeed, she did.
Which I think was called Golda. It's kind of cool if Helen Mirren plays you.
I know. I know. I'm hoping she plays me at some point.
Eventually, if you live long enough, all men start looking like Helen Mirren.
There you go.
Like Piers Morgan resembles Brenda Fricker when she was in Home Alone.
Wow.
You know, as the bird woman, the pigeon woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you can't unring that bell. You can't unsee that image once you
Jesus Christ.
That was brilliant though. All right, come on. We can't sit around all day drink. Oh, actually, that's what we are going to
do. Yep.
This is a high speed version of the Philip Schuff Show, by the way, because
it's
only got
a mere
two hours.
Ouch.
A mere 2 hours. All right, so we're going to start with this. You can't say the name of it or which celebrity
nope.
I am helping bring this brand
can
to
Can we even
market.
Say what kind of spirit it is?
We can. It's a vodka.
Okay, it's a vodka.
It's a vodka. That's all the information I'm giving you. But this will be in the shops for September with a major global superstar celebrity owner. And
major. We are talking major.
We are. He's a big boy, is this guy. And myself and a professional colleague will be helping make sure that he doesn't fuck up too badly when you wheel him out in front of bartenders and distributors and and whatnot. So this,
alrighty,
about all that I can publicly disclose is that it's vodka, and it is at, as the Americans say, 90 proof, which is to say, 45% ABV in the old money.
And what is it distilled from?
Aha, that would be potatoes or potatoes, depending on your preference.
Yep, yep.
So yeah, very expensive base spirit. And a higher proof, so it will, of course, stand out in cocktails. But I have to tell you, I wasn't part of the
very
team.
Nice.
I wasn't part of the team that chose the liquid.
But you were part of the team that drank the liquid, and
I'm
that's
on,
the
I'm
important.
Still
thing.
On that team. Again, try not to be biased here. That's fucking delicious.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rich and round. Mm. What I want to do is put this in a vertical with, say, the other famous potato vodkas, which is Chopin, Luxosoa.
I didn't know them.
Luxosoa is in the rail of a whole lot of bars around New York City because it's cheap as fuck.
There you go.
But it's potatoes. And in doing my research, do you remember Carlson's Gold Vodka?
I remember it well. It was very good potato vodka.
And it is no more. It is an ex-vodka.
Alas.
Yep. They haven't posted on Instagram
vodka.
Since 2013.
Wow.
So I'm going to call it and say it's not around anymore.
All right.
Yeah, but it was very good. It was started by an ex-Absolute executive, and they used very special Swedish winter potatoes. And for a while there, they had a bit of money, and they flew bartenders over to Sweden and all this kind of thing.
Damn.
It doesn't exist anymore. So
that's a real shame.
It is.
It's very good. God, yeah. I haven't thought about it in 10 years or so.
I kind of assumed it was out there and still plugging mm-hmm. along, but a bit of sleuthing revealed that that was not the case.
Tragic.
Sadly. What do you think? Do you think a vodka that goes in at a reasonable price at a higher strength, and it
I
is
like that.
Delicious. There's something there, right?
I actually do have a Chopin just sent out 119 proof vodka, which I have around here somewhere. Just saying.
Sachs, grab that bottle.
All right.
If you say it on the Philip Duff Show, we have to taste it. I don't make the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Don't at me.
So all right. If all you're right. wondering, I actually know where it is.
If you should continue listening to this episode, we are going to try a Tobola and an Ensemble Mezcal brought back right from a distillery in Oaxaca in repurposed plastic water bottles. We're going to have an American whiskey made from heirloom corn. God knows what the hell
that
Tony's
thunk
got.
Was Chopin Bartender's Choice.
The Bartender's Choice, 60% as near as, damn it. Yeah, but it's rye, buddy.
God damn. You know, you see Chopin, you think potatoes. You I do. Forgot it was rye.
59.75% ABV. Come on, we've got to have a little bit of it.
All right, all right.
Pour away, Sachs.
Let's do this.
When he pours, he reigns. One of these days, somebody will do a cocktail reboot, won't they? Hopefully it's better than the Roadhouse reboot. But the Roadhouse reboot wasn't as bad as you think.
Really?
It was comically over the top, and Conor McGregor isn't able to act at all, so he just took a whole bunch of coke, and it kind of worked. And like Jake Gyllenhaal is kind of like this nerdy dude who's also like super ripped. It's all
interesting.
Quite, it's entertaining.
That's like, it's all not, you ask for from a film.
It's not Battleship Potemkin, you know. It isn't The Whale by Darren Aronofsky. It's Roadhouse on Netflix.
So it's a good way to kill 2 hours while you're drinking.
It is. No, you will. You will not regret putting on Roadhouse. Oh, tasty! They've really tamed the rye.
Not bad, Chopin.
I can't tell you, that was 60% nearest.
Not
down
bad at
ABV.
All.
It's like, come on, what?
And really, is that a bartender's choice? It just means you're going to drink less.
Yeah, it probably means they pretended to ask some bartenders for stuff. You know?
There you go.
So.
But it's not bad.
We have spoken before on the Philip Duff Show about that kind of... And actually, I'll get your input too here as two fellow middle-aged white guys. When every bartender in the world started being flown down to Mexico right? Mm-hmm. About 25 years ago. And then starting about 10 years ago, we started having social media. So you'd see bartenders from Bushwick or East London or Silver Lake, LA, wearing cowboy boots or, God forbid, cowboy hats, and drinking little coke pieces and Weber Blue Agave Fields, and talking about this shitty little bar where the bartender like pissed in your cup, and how it was the best piss I ever had. Yeah, but then they got to go home to Shoreditch and Silver Lake and Bushwick and live there. And those poor pricks in Mexico had to stay living there.
Yep.
So there's a kind of a nastiness about it. It's poverty tourism to some degree.
Oh boy, it really is.
But do you agree? I mean, you don't have to agree with me, even though I'm busy.
I mean, they're contributing to the economy, so God bless them. Yeah, at the same time, I'm thinking about the first time I went down to Mexico, and it was right after Trump got elected. And
brilliant timing.
Yeah, it was. I called it my apology tour.
Were you there to build a wall? Big, beautiful wall. Beautiful
no, I was. I was there to tell Everyone the people. We're not all like him. We don't all like him. And, you know, they were, I mean, Mexicans were going to us, me, a small old white man saying, we don't want any trouble. We don't want any trouble with you guys. And I was like, Jesus Christ, who do you think we are? Well, we're awful Americans. But, you know, I guess... we're trying to spread the gospel of tequila and agave spirits in general and tell people how wonderful it is. And, you know, we're buying drinks there and somebody's, you know, got to buy sombreros to take home to everybody. And I don't know.
But it's also this thing, like, it's fetishism. You know, Don Pepe lives down a track and he had to sell his daughter last year to buy food. And, you know, they grind the corn with mallets because they can't afford a mule. But it's happened to me. The bartenders have done little trips and tours around various distilleries, which you have to call, of course, palenques in Oaxaca. Yes. But if you really want to be that Leo DiCaprio meme from Django Unchained, where he's like, you know, you say, but in Michoacan, they call them vinyasas. But they've gone on a few, they visited the occasional palenque or vinyasa, and then they're like, yeah, you know, the other one was like much more industrial. And I'm like, what? They had a mule? It's like, no, they had a Tahona. They used this, they made everything, but like it was all new and big and clean, and the owner had a Ford F-150, and I'm like, and that's what disappoints you, that he doesn't have right. to eat his own limbs yeah. for nutrition, that he's not in grinding.
That's the thing. Poverty is often equated with authenticity
by people who are not
right
poverty stricken. The actual poverty stricken people are like, this sucks.
Exactly.
They're dreaming of that, funnily enough, Robert Denton, who is still with us, Bob Denton is probably more responsible than anybody else for introducing 100% Blue Agave Tequila to the world, especially the USA. He actually worked on Kettle One Vodka in the USA. Then he used the same techniques of going to food shows, having proper tastings, etc., with Shinako Tequila.
Wow.
And then he created with Carlos Camarena El Tesoro. And he, in a brilliant documentary that you can find on YouTube, was trying to explain they would be going down there to little distilleries in rural Mexico, because apart from the big Cuervos and Sauzas, it was largely rural back then. Even La Altania, where Carlos Camarena as the maestro, is a little bit outside Arandas, which is 2 hours east of Guadalajara.
God, you're good.
I know, I'm pretty impressed myself. But he would go down and he'd say, look, go back to the old ways, smaller pot stills, Tahonas, mules, mallets, all this. And they didn't want to do it, because if you were a distiller and doing well, it was a sign of prestige to have a diffuser. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a sign of prestige to have
a
tractor.
Using modern technology.
Yeah, it's like, I can afford this, you know, however much it costs, thingamajig.
I can afford to make Norte inferior Americana. Tequila.
Yeah.
In other words.
And then I can take the money I earn from selling shitty tequila to Americans, and I can drink what Mexicans really love, which is whiskey.
There you go.
This is a very long way around to say that we're going to have some agave spirits.
Excellent. Looking forward to it.
So most people who've been to a vinyasa or a palenque will have told the story that both there and in Oaxaca, distillers come out in what's essentially a farmer's market, and you could buy a liter of their best stuff for between 300 and 500 pesos. 500 pesos is about $29. It will be, as the ones that we are looking at are, in a washed out soda or water bottle, labeled as these are by a
strip of tape.
We are having a tobola. I like the way it says tobola and just percentage. It doesn't say what the percentage is, just it's got a percentage. By, I have to assume this is the distiller, Adán Barriga. In fact, let's do the thing that they do, which is shake the fuck out of it and look for the size of the bubbles. Yeah, this is strong as fuck.
Oh, yeah. We're in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, we're in double trouble. Mrs. Duff brought this back.
There's a percentage of alcohol in there.
This is a tobola made from the rare, small, wild tobola agave. We'll switch it up. Sax and I are friends.
And alcohol kills germs.
That's right. I haven't had a germ since 1976. This brings up another moral quandary, Mr. Sachs.
This smells delicious.
Honestly, this is fucking brilliant. So should we be drinking rare, single varietal agave mezcals? Because you can't cultivate them. There's not even enough agave to make fucking Casamigos, let alone this stuff.
Exactly.
So should we wean ourselves? Because Mexicans never made single varietal mezcals. They picked the agaves that were out there, which Ron Cooper euphemistically describes as a field blend. And they made tasty mezcal with it. And if someone said, what's in it? I'd be like, well, it's mostly this, or, you know.
Exactly. It's, again, this is tough.
On the one hand, everyone's like, oh, they're so poor. It's so hard. There's not enough agaves. On the second hand, they're in a fucking bar in Bushwick or the Upper East Side or South London, and it's like, ooh, round of tobola for everybody.
It's a problem because you've got to run out of agave at some point. You know, the more people drink this stuff, you can't cultivate it.
Well, especially the wild stuff.
Yes,
I mean, by definition, you can't cultivate it. So,
you know, unless you're going to do with agave what you did with salmon and, you know, start farmed agave, making it the equivalent of the wild stuff. I don't even know if that's possible.
Mm.
But yeah, at some point you're going to run out and something's going to get screwed up, whether, you know, people are going to get exploited and killed and, you know, or the land is going to be depleted, or certain strains of agave are going to go extinct, or something.
Well, I think a lot of the agave farmers don't have a choice. They don't have the luxury of thinking long term because they'd like to eat tomorrow.
Exactly.
That's their long term. And if the agave prices go down, as they always do, and then up again and down again and up and down again, they'll just plant avocados or tomatoes or something that works. And many of them can't even be long-term stewards of the soil because
no, of course not.
They need to make money. They don't have access to finance and stuff like that. But yeah, this is not their problem. It's ours.
Right.
We want to have this stuff. That's why I've been very heartened to see great mezcal blends now. Like there's one out there called Granja that I learned about because I did a bit of work with the distributor at the end of last year. And it's 24% or so, maybe 26%, Tepestase, another delicious, rare, small, wild agave. But the rest of it is Espadin, which is far more widely cultivated. So it's the equivalent of a nice blended whiskey. And it stretches the agave, so there's more of it to go around.
And there's really nothing wrong with that. But there are still going to be people
and it's cheaper.
Who look for the single varietals.
I'm sure there's people who eat, you know, unicorn steaks, but
there you go.
Well, it's the difference between perception and reality. If you really care about Mexican people and you really care about you know, wild agaves and sustainability, maybe you don't drink single varietal.
Agreed.
Yeah. This is it. We're exploding all kinds of norms here today on the Philip Dove Show.
As we drink a single varietal.
Barely two. Well, they already made this one, so.
There you go.
Now.
If not us, somebody else was going to drink.
Let us have the second one. This is an ensemble, a blend.
In another nice water bottle.
It is. This one's a former Life water bottle.
Alrighty.
I'd say the Tobolo was somewhere between 50 and 60%, if I had to guess.
It was just delish.
This is less.
We're going to be in slightly less trouble from this one.
This is going to be somewhere from 40 to 50.
Yeah.
For those of you listening along, we just shook the fuck out of the bottle, and the bubbles were different. So,
but not unimpressive on the second one.
So yeah, the nose on this, the mouth. It's complete and utter shit. This is terrible.
What do we got here?
There's something up. With the ferment, so you've got like vinegar on the nose.
It's very vinegary.
And the palate. Yeah, no, that's an infection.
Wow. So I was like, that's interesting.
Now, most people are like, I got this at the distillery for 400 pesos. It's like, yeah, you got screwed.
Wow.
It's just not great. It's flawed. It's, you know, there's a flaw in the production process. Which happens in distilleries all around the world.
Man, this could be a really good salad dressing.
You're not actually wrong. You could make a great vinaigrette from that.
Wow. Fascinating. It's making me crave a salad, I'll tell you.
Well, that's never happened to me. Although I do make a nice niçoise. My niçoise is to die for.
There you go.
You'll as have to long come as it's the apartment
got some raw fish.
And I'll make niçoise.
Or no, seared fish.
Seared tuna niçoise. A la Duff.
All right. I'm in.
We speak of it very highly along the pavement cafes of Marseille. You know, it's been a lot of Duff so far, Tony. Why don't you wheel something out for us to try?
Well, I already
mean, the vodka was kind of like a sideways thing.
Exactly. Well, you know, if I say it, it has to happen. So
that's the rule on the Philip Duff
Show. On Friday at Drink Tony's Liquor, we had
before burning down the apartment.
Yes, we had a musical celebrity battle of the rums.
We had a rum off. We really did,
indeed.
Which we had partially done before, but it's kind of worth reconstructing for our
absolutely
darling listeners.
Because we've got.
Oh, do you want to rinse mine as well?
I would love to
in the galley.
We're rinsing off some glasses here in case you hear some running water.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's getting into tequila. By the way, did you hear about the tequila launch today, Mr. Sachs?
Which one?
No one other than Mrs. Rhonda Gerber, that is to say Cindy Crawford, retired supermodel, has launched, and it's not April Fool's Day, Casamigas.
Oh, dear.
Which is a jalapeno-flavored version of Casamigos tequila. And it's got her name on the label. And all that sort of thing.
World domination continues.
Skinny spicy margarita is apparently her jam. And the spicy marg is the next espresso martini. So I don't blame her.
I do love a spicy marg. And I love that the jalapeno-infused tequilas are generally, you know, I can't ever find out any details about the tequila because they're like, I don't know.
Well, by
what
far,
do you want from me?
By far the best one is Tanteo.
Oh, I do like Tanteo.
Tanteo's excellent. They make a not infused one as well, which is very good.
Huh.
They got bought like last year. I got to know the guys quite well.
All right. We're going to start off.
Just a teeny tiny bit from me.
Teeny. Because we've got three and we've got plenty more spirits to go.
We do. It's like the Blues Brothers. We got like half a tank of gas. 50 cigarettes, going to make it to Detroit.
We're on a mission from Gad.
Gad. So this is Kokomo.
Club Kokomo.
Come on, Coco Aruba.
So it is It is the new rum from Mike Love of the Beach Boys, the generally accepted most despicable member of the Beach Boys.
How is he evil? What did he do?
Don't know. Apparently, he's just a real asshole to everybody.
Oh, okay. It's like a general asshole.
Yeah.
He's not like,
yeah. Oh, no, no.
He's not like an asshole in a Beach Boy way. He's just like an asshole.
Full stop. And, you know, all the Beach Boys masterpieces, he disapproved of them because he thought they were straying from their tried and true formula.
Well, they were a boy band.
They were one of the first.
So, indeed. 46% ABV.
I have been told it is additive free.
Ah. Did you look to see if somebody had their fingers behind their back, like cross fingers? Like,
there you go. As Philip told me the other day, saying it's additive free, it just means you have a good lawyer.
And a better scientist, yeah.
There you go.
Our barrel-finished rum features a proprietary blend of 8 and 10-year-old Jamaican and Barbadian rums, aged in new oak, bourbon, and port casks.
Ah, there you go.
Blended exclusively by our master distiller and finished in hand-selected bourbon barrels, our ultimate rum expression delivers notes of vanilla, caramel, stone fruit, and whiskey in a rum. With added, with no added sugars, flavoring, or colors. Well, we'll see about that.
But it might have been finished in a vanilla and glycerin barrel.
That's right. It's that somebody right now is aging glycerin.
Añejo glycerin.
There's not a lot. Well, they age palm sugar for sweetening cognac.
Oh, there you go. So
they age the water for proofing it. They alcoholize the water and age it. Yeah.
That's impressive.
All right. Mm-hmm. Fine.
I like this one. A lot of vanilla, a lot of caramel, a lot of banana.
It's a bit sweet.
It is sweet.
There's a little something added.
So, might be a vanilla port. Who knows? Vanilla port casks?
Yeah. Maybe somebody's aging vanilla pods in barrels right now.
There you go.
Yeah. At the behest of lawyers.
Straight automatic. Right. Damn straight.
Here, I'll another purpose for 60% ABV vodka is rinsing out my glass. We're going to have to drink this later on, you know.
Murray Hill iced tea.
Our dump glass. All right. What's up next, Sax?
All right. Next up, we've got a rum from somebody who may have already not sold more records, but gotten more streams than the Beach Boys. Young man.
Bruno Mars.
By the name of Bruno Mars. His Bruno rum, Selva Ray.
Who's a half New York Jewish Hawaiian.
And that's why we love him.
Mistaken, yeah. But this is not the regular Selva Ray.
No. Oh, no, no. This is the Selva Ray, and, of course, Distiller's Reserve. No, Owner's Reserve.
This
Sorry.
Is like...
I can't see anymore.
Me I'm reading old. The labels is like Ben Shapiro reading like rap lyrics like WAP.
It's painful.
By Cardi B, yeah. So the Owner's Reserve, a very restrained 40% ABV.
From the owner's private collection.
There we go.
And we all know that Bruno Mars is quite the rum collector.
Produced, distilled, and bottled in Panama, where they helpfully add Central America, in case you thought it was like the Swedish Panama.
Jeez.
Interesting.
I never would have guessed.
Ah.
Panama and Central America. Sorry, just dumped my dump glass down the sink because it was getting a little full.
Well, that's because you didn't drink your martini, pussy.
I know.
What the fuck is wrong with you, Sax? I brought you up better than that. You were raised better.
I'm saving myself for Brian Miller.
That's true. The man makes a tasty tiki drink.
All right. Here we go.
Now, well, we're cheating a bit because we tasted this the other night as well. But
now in Panama, they make no bones about adding sweeteners and
But they do very legit stuff as well.
And it's as far as I'm concerned, it's legit if they say they did it.
Well, there's a distillery down there. Their master distiller is a guy who worked at Havana Club in Cuba for like 20, 30 years. He really knows his shit. The rum that our friends at Chatham Imports make has like its own proprietary pineapple yeast. You know, it grows on pineapples down there. So Panama can make great rums.
Indeed.
That's like saying Mexico can make great agave spirits. Of course it can.
But
can
Bruno Mars?
Can Bruno Mars bring his Uptown Funk? There's a lot more.
This is surprisingly funkless.
There's a lot more nose to this, obviously. A little lower.
I really enjoy the nose, but then I taste it and it just tastes like.
This is quite nice.
It's fine.
This is quite nice. I'd give this the edge. It's probably wildly more expensive than Kokomo. I'd give it an edge over Kokomo. Mm. Bruno, if you're listening, thumbs up, buddy. Well done.
This is locked out of heaven for me, but it's such a gorgeous bottle, and it's definitely a drinkable rum. Not crazy.
I mean, that's
about
a very
it,
low bar, drinkable.
Yes,
especially for us.
Indeed, I'll drink anything. God.
And on more all than right. one, didn't we have some barbecue flavored whiskey?
We did
the it's time before here last. Yeah, somewhere. No, that's one we don't need to crack. You can mention it. We do not need to crack it.
Curveball barbecue whiskey.
Listen, if barbecue whiskey is something you want in your life, you could do a lot worse than Curveball.
Indeed.
I was actually, as you know, impressed by it.
As was I. I like it better than Screwball or Fireball.
Well, Screwball and Fireball, there's better versions of them out there. Like, there's one Bird Dog whiskey is all 80 proof, 4-year-old bourbon, flavored with, you know, peanut butter and this and that and the other thing. You know, I have to say, the next one we're tasting, I also like the name Monstrum. It's a great name for a rum. It's a great name.
You wanted the best. You got the best.
I do.
The hottest rum in the world, Kiss Monstrum.
I don't think Kiss are that big outside the U.S.
They really – they're not even that big in the U.S.
anymore. Oh, no. They're pretty big.
They're big. I mean, now they're retired and have –
But they were Stadium Rock. I mean –
Their last gig, their farewell gig in December, I think, at Madison Square Garden, failed to sell out.
What?
From what I've heard. And now they said it's not actually our farewell because they are now their shows are being taken over by their digital avatars.
Oh, that's what they did with ABBA. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, ABBA was very successful. I don't know if it's going to work as well with Kiss.
Well, they did it in London.
Those avatars do not look like Kiss. My God, those are terrible avatars.
No, they did it in London, the ABBA thing. And apparently it was great.
So I've heard.
So I will again put on my late night FM DJ voice and talk you through.
Oh, wait. You might need the back of the box as well.
Oh, actually, is there any more information inside this?
It's on the back. I mean, I could tell you.
Oh, wait a second.
It's in there?
There's a card in here. There we go. All right. So Kiss Monstrum Ultra Premium Rum invites you on a journey. One that, oh my God, there's so much text here.
That's why you want to read the back of the box.
The Kiss Rum Collection.
There's more than one.
With a K, has its third and most exclusive member in the presence of Kiss Monstrum Ultra Premium Rum. Specially selected from Guyana and Jamaica, the rums have been aged for 14 years in ancient Arak lagers. Arak, of course, as regular listeners will know, being the red rice starter sugarcane spirit.
Not the Lebanese.
Made famous in Indonesia.
Spirit.
The world's first luxury spirit, the original ingredient in punch, et cetera.
My wife says it tastes like an old sock.
It does.
But I love it.
In a good way.
Like a really good old sock.
The curated result is one of high quality perfection in a clean, clear, light colored premium rum, which does not contain any added sugars or flavoring. Expect the unexpected from the elegant blend, leading with complex and well developed aromas of arak, coconut, raisins, and a hint of vanilla. Upon tasting, you'll discover a slightly spicy palate, leading with clear oak character and less sweetness. Rounded off by subtle arak, muscovado, sugar, and light vanilla tones.
Love Gene Simmons.
That's it. This is the first one that for sure has no additives.
Yep.
No sugar, no vanilla. It's legit. It was clearly blended by EA Shear. How do we know? They have a world monopoly on arak.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, you don't get
to Arrak. Went to the right place then.
Well, they colonized it about 400 years ago. They clearly played a long
That's
game.
That's true.
Imagine the balls on the Dutch people. They've got a country the size of a Walmart parking lot in Texas. And at one stage, they ran half the world.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Even old New York was once New Amsterdam.
You know? And before that, it was French for a little bit. Did you know it was called...
A little bit.
It was called New Angoulême after the train station near Cognac.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, no, it was founded by the Dutch to trade beaver with the French Canadians. So the town was literally founded on beaver, and the Dutch got out of it because it wasn't profitable enough.
Indeed. But
they were like, New York, it's never going to amount to anything.
But
and they
you'll still see the beavers at the Astor Place subway station.
Apparently. We've got fucking wolves on the FDR and the late Flacco, the Mexican horned owl, who escaped from Central Park
Zoo.
Great. Lived happily for a month or two before flying straight into a fucking building.
It was a whole year?
I guess it was suicide. He was just like,
apparently
he
had
anymore.
Lots of rat poison in his system when he
I'm fairly sure you and me
window.
Do as well, though. I had a pizza slice on the way up, so.
Ah, there you go.
And that's why New Yorkers are healthy.
It's true.
You know?
God.
Like, what's wrong?
We walk everywhere and we eat New York slices while we walk.
And we survive happy hour, man.
Damn straight.
You know, I kind of feel we should move on to this absolutely gorgeous thing.
We might as well.
I think you should do the intro to this. Oh my God, there's so much to say about this. I've got a little to contribute myself. But this will surprise every listener. Normally, I never speak about these things. But
it's fortunate that I happen to have my laptop handy.
Okay, opening your laptop on the Philip Duff Show is fucking cheap.
I know it is.
What the hell, Sax?
But
I thought we were friends.
But I got this. This is a vintage bottle of the very unfortunately named Rum Negrita.
Which is, by the way, one of the best-selling rums in the world.
Indeed. It still is. And it was acquired by whoever currently owns it about 30 years ago. And now it's a shitty blend, as far as I know.
No, it's a French-Belgian conglomerate called La Martiniquaise. And they own brands you might not be familiar with. Even some Geneva brands, believe it or not.
Ooh, no wonder you know it.
Yeah.
I mean, not that you don't know everything to start with.
Yeah, but this one is a lot. But it sells like fucking. What a lot of people don't realize, if they haven't read Modern Caribbean Rum from Matt Pietrick, available for $99 plus shipping from rumwonk.com. That's rumwonk.com. Use code PhilTony for 0% off. That's PhilTony. Phil Tony for 0% off.
And you might get
pay for your own shipping.
Obscene inscription. Possibly.
Yeah, well, what it was, the French Caribbean islands had a preferential tax rate for exporting their booze to France. So France drinks a shitload of rum, especially Agricole, but it is normally not of the top shelf variety.
Correct. So this is from Martinique, but it is not a Rum Agricole.
No, it is not.
Nor is it a Grand
Arôme.
Yes,
Grand
thank you.
Arôme.
Grand Arôme.
Grand Arôme.
I never
literally
remember
means,
to say Grand Arôme or Grand Arôme. But no, it's Grand
Arôme.
It
literally means big flavor, big aroma.
But I mean, it's basically like the French island equivalent
of
funky Jamaican
It's funky Hogo rum.
Yeah, so this is not either of those things.
No, it is not.
This is a molasses-based rum from Martinique that was used in various Trader Vic's cocktails, including the Mai Tai after he ran out of
Ray and Nephew,
Ray and Nephew 17 and 15.
Yeah.
So it was a blend of Rum Negrita and some Jamaican rum, which, you know, I got to figure out what the hell that is.
Yeah, I don't know if the lady is on the label anymore, but it's called Rum Negrita. Negrita, of course, means a small African woman, right? Produced and bottled by Bardonette, who are still in business, by the way, in Bordeaux. It says West and East Indies rum produced in France. But the most fun thing about it is imported by Carillon Importers. That's the company that took a chance on a French guy who had just got divorced and sold his restaurant in Texas and moved to New York. He'd never sold liquor before, but he thought being a liquor salesman would be a good job. And they took him on. He was their only salesperson, and his name was Michel Roux.
Wow.
Michel Roux went on to create Absolute, Bombay Sapphire.
Indeed he did.
Everything that you know really about Grand Marnier. He sold as much, if not more, cases of booze than the legendary Sidney Frank. And despite being French when Sidney Frank was creating Grey Goose, he approached Michel as the other titan of the liquor industry to come on board with Grey Goose, this luxury French vodka. And Michel said, fuck no, no one's ever going to drink French vodka.
There you go. Well, and this, nobody ever did. And Grey Goose went under, and it's a tragic tale. It went the way of Carlson's vodka.
Indeed it did. In the end, the universe tends towards entropy.
And now, of course...
Well, I feel almost guilty about opening it, but you have to open it with somebody. It should be someone prestigious like me, so...
There you go. Ah. And we're giving some to Brian Miller tonight, because I made the mistake of telling him about it.
Well, can I have a look at your laptop? Because we're recording on my phone, because that's how high-tech we are. I want to Google something quickly. I want to see... I think Negrita sells a million cases or more every year.
Dear God, that's incredible.
Oh, open a Safari thingamajig and give it to me, heel man.
All right. Here, it's already on Whiskey Shop USA.
I see you went with the very manly pink MacBook Air, Tony.
Damn straight. Rose gold, my friend.
Actually, Elaine's got the exact same one. Then again, she's also got ovaries. So. You've got no excuse, Sex.
My excuse was that was the only color they had in stock and I needed it.
You thought it was pretty.
I do think it's pretty. I'm not going to lie
to you. So pretty. Oh, all so right. Pretty. I Let's seem pretty see. And witty
and
gay. It was gay, wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Of course it was. All right. There we go. 28. The sound effects are Tony opening this amazing bottle. How old do you think it is?
I am guessing 50s because on the tax stamp, could be even earlier. There's no postal code or zip code. And I believe postal codes went into effect after World War II. So it could even be before a little bit. Might have to ask our friend Eric Witz about this.
Yeah, or Edgar Harden.
Or Edgar Harden, Mr. Old Spirits himself.
Who, at one stage, was Ryan Cheshire Wardana's landlord.
Wow.
I know, right? It's a whole thing.
All right, let's get this open. Now, there was a tiny bit of leakage in transit, which means this sucker has let some oxygen in over the years. So, fingers crossed.
Dude.
It did make a nice popping sound, though, when that cork came out.
Annual consumption in France of rum Negrita, 2.7 million liters.
Jesus
Christ. That's just France.
That's bonkers. All right. Well, it looks good. There's no cloudiness. There's no milkiness. And the bubble wrap into which it leaked smelled delicious.
And that's not easy with bubble wrap. Wow. So the website now says Rum Negrita, R-H-U-M, Friendly Caribbean Rum.
Friendly.
Oh, the lady's still on the label.
Yes, she is.
Look.
Wow.
Yeah, they're like, fuck it. I mean, anyone deserves to be on the label. Is that mine?
That's yours.
Gracias, senor.
Well, it smells lovely.
Yep. I actually drank quite a bit of this living in Holland.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a little note of funk. To that.
There's definitely some funk.
Does it state the proof? Because I don't think you had to put
88
on the label
proof.
88?
Yes.
Fuck.
And it's the classic 4/5 of a quart.
Hence, let's get a fifth.
There you go.
Meaning let's grab a bottle.
So a fifth was a pint, more or less, right?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
All right. This I'm drinking.
The nose is great, but the palate's not great, is it? It's kind of a bit.
It's vanilla-y. It's a little funky.
You'd like a bit more, wouldn't you?
I mean, maybe it takes a little while to open up. We poured it, you know, well, a good minute ago. We can put it to the side and see what happens.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Here, give me your glass. I'll go and rinse them, and we'll...
Thank you.
We shall interlude with a bit of whiskey.
Now I'm going to find... We're drinking all kinds. We are equal opportunity drinkers tonight.
Well, we're not drinking Seedlip.
Yeah, that's true.
The opportunities are only equal so far. A gentleman has to have some lines that cannot be crossed. So,
Mr. Petrick, he quotes...
Is that modern Caribbean rum?
Yes, sir. He quotes... Trader Vic, what he says about it.
Oh, Vic loved this stuff. I happen to know that myself.
Yes. So he mentions Negrita, commonly known as French rums. They're usually heavy in body, coffee-colored, very similar to Jamaica rums, but in many cases have the dry-burned flavor of the Demerara. This flavor, however, is very faint. Yes, that's what I was going to say. The rum produced in Martinique is in many cases shipped to France, where it is aged and reshipped as French rum. One of the finest rums.
Bordeaux.
Bingo.
It's inexpensive.
Yes, that's the thing. And it's my wife.
Ooh, special guest.
With garbage bags.
Who almost died of smoke inhalation on Friday. That was Frank, by the way, just so we know. I don't want to blame anybody, but it was Frank. I hope Frank doesn't listen to this.
He was the one making the martinis.
Yeah. Hey, it's tough when your workbench is a stove.
It's true.
But now this.
We're going to take the knobs off.
That's it. Sensible thing. Or we can send Frank to CrossFit.
But, no, I'm going to hold this for a while.
No, we should. We should. Let's pregame a little bit. This is the Baby Jane from the Widow Jane Distillery in Red Hook, Brooklyn, New York.
Yes, indeed.
With limestone water from the legendary Rosendale Mines of NY, where my wife went prospecting only a few weeks ago. Wow. So this is...
Did she find anything?
She found her colleagues, which was good.
There you go.
Yeah, it would have been bad if she went in and came out without them. So this is... They have heirloom corn that they distill from, and it's a special release.
I assume it's not grown in Red Hook.
I would hope not. Right, I don't think anybody should consume urban corn.
Thank you.
There we go. But Widow Jane has undergone a huge leap forward in quality. They've got the Decadence, which we'll be drinking at Bemelman's Bar the next time we drop by.
Ooh,
10 years
I'm ready
old,
for that.
Maple syrup barrel.
There's a real art to aging a spirit in a maple syrup barrel. And some people can do it and some people can't.
Well, I think even trickier than that is all the wine barrels. Whenever I see a finish that's been fucked up, 9 times out of 10, it's a wine barrel. From someone who might be very good at distilling.
Agreed.
And quite good at aging in a general sense. Wine barrels are just a fucking pain. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Oh, that's very nice. It is subtly different to the regular Widow Jane.
Mm.
Which I have often of an evening because Mrs. Duff, of course, works for the company that owns it. But
full disclosure right there.
That's it. Transparency is what the Philip Duff Show is all about.
That's really interesting. I got a little sweet corn right up front and then some vanilla and then some mint.
Yeah, I wish I knew what
menthol there.
It's kind of cool that it's becoming a thing. We've got, you know, Alan Katz distilling the new Jaywalk rye from
which
Horton.
We have does not mean we have to try it right now, but you know it's here.
Well, I could go for a bit of Horton. Yeah, Alan Katz, founder of New York Distilling, has created the Jaywalk rye brand, and he spent a decade first collaborating with
Cornell
University,
College of Agriculture.
There we go, the ag nerds. Mm-hmm. To bring back a pretty much extinct rye sort. And if you
He claimed, when I talked to him a couple of years ago, he said it had not been used for any practical sense in more than 100 years, possibly more than
200 years. Because
it's
probably a pain in the arse.
Yeah, low yield.
Yeah.
So why grow it?
So eventually, I'm going to become really popular again to work with, maybe in 100 years from now.
Because you're very low yield.
I'm a pain in the arse. I'm very low yield. But no, it's absolutely delicious. And obviously, if you make your whiskey from products grown in New York State, you get a tax break. Mm-hmm. But you also, and this is because of the tireless political lobbying of Alan Katz on behalf of all the distillers in New York State, you can label your New York distilled rye as Empire State Rye, which is cool.
That is very cool.
We get a new subcategory.
Exactly.
Like the last time before that, Nicole Austin had lobbied for a craft spirits law, which passed, and she got a tattoo.
There you go.
Nicole being, of course, now the master distiller of the fabulous George Dickel. I wonder if Alan got a tattoo.
Cascade Hollow Distillery.
Think Alan got a tattoo?
I hope so. I can't imagine him getting a tattoo.
He's not.
But you never know.
My wife said something very funny today. She was like, "You just don't appear to be a married man." And I'm like, "I've been married to you for 12 years. He's like, "Yeah, but like if I saw you walking down the street, I wouldn't be like, he's married." And it had never occurred to me. And the fact is I've been married for most of my adult life. I got married.
Let the record show that because
Christine
this is
also
audio
does not agree.
Only, Christine Sachs is giving Philip this funny
look. I'm going to have to bow to the wisdom of crowds here. Maybe I don't look like a married guy. I've been deluded all these years.
Man.
I wear the ring.
There you go.
My God, that's the whole point, right?
I'm not sure whether the kind of look she was giving you meant that you do look like a married man or you look like a single
man. I'm thinking
man.
She doesn't think I look like a married
all
man.
Right.
Or
comport right.
myself like one. Yeah, so single ladies out there, I'm sorry, I'm taken. The ring is not a fake. It's very real.
There you go.
Well, you know what, Tony? Why don't you dig out a bit of Horton if you got it?
Let's do it. It's literally mere feet away.
And then we can return to the Negrita and see where we are. Because if it hasn't aired in 5 minutes, it probably
exactly.
won't. So this is the Horton.
This is the Horton. One, Jaywalk Rye bonded. Six years old, I believe.
6 years
Either
old.
Six or seven.
And is it 100% Horton Rye? Because there should be the mash bill
no,
on the side.
It is not 100%
it's
Horton
It's on
Rye.
The nearest side to you.
It is a blend of Horton. I don't know if it has the percentage. Yes, it does. Oh, no. No, so it's 75. The mash bill is 75% rye, 13% corn, and 12% malted barley.
Right.
But of that 75%, it's not 100% Horton Rye.
Right, okay, that's fine. That's probably not enough.
Yes, exactly.
At the
and
moment.
He also had his own varietal before then.
He did, didn't he?
And I forget what it's called. But
both
it's,
of us.
It's delicious. And so this is a blend of Horton and the classic New York Distilling Company distillate. Or, you know what I mean, grain.
Indeed it is. Yeah. Well, as a Geneva brand owner, rye is very near and dear to my heart.
I love the label, which looks like it took him about 4 minutes to design, but it's, you know.
Do you like it?
I do like it. It's so simple that it kind of grabs my eye.
It's sort of very, it reminds me of a graphic design style for which I can't remember the name, but it's sort of a thing, you know?
Agreed.
It's Maya, most advanced, yes, acceptable. It's definitely new, but it reminds you of something old. Oh, that is tasty as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Rye, as the label says, for rye obsessives, grown, distilled, and aged in New York, 50%. Holy shit.
Well, it is bottled in
bond. Leading the rye revival from the city where it began. Born in Brooklyn, made of NY. Let's read the...
And they just relocated their distillery from Williamsburg to Bushwick. And I don't believe it's up and running yet, but they still have plenty of stuff that's aging, plenty to sell.
If you'd like to visit, it's 573 Johnson Avenue, Bushwick, New York, 11237.
Which is just up the block from the PM Spirits offices. So you can just go on a little tasting tour.
Just also the block from Empirical Spirits. So you can drop by for a Doritos flavored
thing. There you go. Fantastic.
Created together with Koji.
Oh, may I just say that Jaywalk Rye was the featured whiskey of the week in Forbes a couple of weeks ago, which is my weekly, I try to make it weekly, column about whiskeys I like. So
and it's
there you go. Just want to say I endorsed it before today.
Before
it
was cool.
Endorse it again.
Before it was cool.
That's right.
Well, I think we're seeing agave spirits from around the world now, like Pistola, which is an excellent agave spirit from India. Obviously, whiskeys everywhere. We're going to see rye. Like, there's excellent rye from Zoutdam Distilling in Holland, Millstone. It's really, really good.
Oh, and there's Stoning, Danish rye.
And Tony, your four ancestors having escaped from there after murdering someone they shouldn't. Russia's coming on the scene. Now, obviously, no one's trading with Russia at the moment, or at least they're pretending that they're not.
Exactly.
But what this has done is inadvertently, for the last 10 years, kicked off a farm-to-table movement over there. When sanctions started being applied after the invasion of Crimea in 2014, sanctions always hit the luxury spirits first, champagne, buffalo mozzarella, that kind of thing. So it started all being sanctioned, and you know, wealthy Russians would have like planes flying in every day from Italy. So they started sourcing it in-house, and they've got everything they need. They can get crab and sushi from Kamchatka. They've got cows. They've got you can go on foraging tours in Sochi. So that inadvertently created a farm-to-table movement in Russia. And since Russia's invasion of the Ukraine, which is possibly the most slow-moving invasion ever.
Indeed, boy.
But they, all the spirits companies have pulled out, and I used to do business with a great many of them. And they're all now, for the first time, they're making malt whiskey in Russia. They're making gin.
There you go.
Russians never made gin. They're making rum.
Good God.
Yeah, and eventually, let us hope that the hostilities cease in Ukraine and we can welcome both the Ukraine and Russia back into the fold.
Indeed.
But they'll start to export. So you will be drinking Russian single malt, because why wouldn't you? They know how to distill, and they've got a fuck ton of grain and forests. It's the largest country in the world.
There you go.
So this is going to be a thing.
And if you're drinking American single malt, you know, why not? Unless you're doing it solely to be patriotic. Which I doubt
most
people are
doing. American single
malt's
going to get better.
It will. It
hasn't yet. Some of it's already great, but it's hard for them to stand up to the established single malts.
Exactly.
Right? But everything iterates. I told you about the greatest video ads I've ever seen, right?
Do tell.
I wish I could remember what it was for, but I was in a cinema, and they were showing ads, not trailers, but ads before the movie. This is quite a while. It was like 20 years. And it was this Italian-themed black and white sepia tone thing. On it starts off with no sound at all. There's like a little buck-toothed 10-year-old kid and his little buck-toothed girlfriend, you know, and everybody's teasing him mercilessly. He's carrying her books. His friends are knocking the books out of his hand. Everybody's like, at them. And then he's walking home with her, you know, his little girlfriend, hand in hand. And the voiceover starts. And it's like, ever since I was a little boy, my father told me. And then they arrive home to her house, because he's walked her home, and her mom opens the door. And she is a DEFCON 5, 11 out of 10, knockout Sophia Loren. Mm-hmm. In a dress, you know, tits, teeth, hair, the whole fucking thing. And then the voiceover continues. My father told me the most important thing was to spot potential and wait. And it was an ad. This is why it was such a good ad. It was an ad for an investment bank.
Wow.
I know.
Dear God.
Listeners, if you know what bank it was, please write in. Because
so we can switch all our money over there.
Yeah, because clearly.
$18.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, Sachs, we have to go back to
March. Rum Negrita after 5 minutes in the glass.
Maybe a little longer.
Maybe even 10. I don't know.
Well, the nose is more nuanced. There's more burnt caramel.
A little bit of coffee. A little bit of dark chocolate.
It's very attractive.
I do love the nose. Let's see. The proof is in the drinking.
It's opened up, but it's still not great. It's a short palate.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great cocktail ingredient. It's not a sip.
Agreed. Agreed.
Like, everybody be delighted to try it. Brian will kiss your toes. Be like, oh my God, amazing old thing. But, it wasn't
right
a heavy hitter back then.
No.
It probably, ironically, was as good a replacement for Ray and Nephew 17 as Ray and Nephew 17, because that was rum too good for that cocktail.
Exactly. And if you mix this with something interesting and Jamaican and not necessarily old, it'd probably be good. Yeah, it's just not a sipper.
It's
pretty cool. As a bit of rum history and as a bit of tiki history, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perfectly fine.
Rum's so tricky. Like, of all the spirit categories, if you want the best ever price-quality ratio for what you buy, go to rum. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you would think an important ingredient in legendary Trader Vic cocktails would go for a lot more money than what it did. But
well, here's the thing, and it's a flawed line of reasoning, but let me just put it out there. When your spirit category has a bit of a cool aspect to it, be it rock and roll or piratical or whatever, it's never sold at a value that at a price that reflects its value. So look at rum, cachaça, all those things. But whiskey, nobody, despite all these like women drinking whiskey things, nobody thinks whiskey's rock and roll. And the exception is, of course, Jack Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Whiskey exactly. is like repressed white guys in three-piece suits with pocket watches. Right? But it sells like fuck. Cognac took a bit of a side route with the wrappers,
that
which
was
great.
Fascinating.
And that's a history. Obviously, it dates back to all the African-American soldiers who fought in World War I and II.
Indeed.
And they came home with a taste for it. But when you've got a bit of a rock and roll to you, it kind of destroys your value proposition. Wow, my marketing education is showing. Fuck.
God, you're good.
I know. Jesus. That surprised me. I think I need to drink something to sort of bring me down to your level.
Maybe you need to bring some Kiss Monstrum back.
What's this?
Into your gullet.
I was made for loving you. Honestly, Kiss Monstrum Rum is excellent.
Yeah, that was
We first had this one almost a year ago.
Yes. That's my
We had
winner.
It exactly this long ago.
Yep. Yeah, it's on its last legs. But that's hands down my winner of the three.
Is Kiss Monstrum Rum not just the best celebrity rum, is it the best celebrity liquor? Is there
It's got to be up there, right?
Right, so who else?
Very sad that this bottle is damn near empty, because I assume
Publicists,
I won't be able to find
Tony
another.
Tony needs another case of Kiss Monstrum Rum.
Exactly.
Who makes the best celebrity liquor? Okay, so let's just skip vodka, because that's hard. Gin?
Ryan Reynolds, I appreciate him not fucking around with aviation gin, but I haven't had aviation in so long. I can't really remember. I remember liking it.
As far as I know, they haven't changed it.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
I have not had Pantalones tequila.
I haven't either, and I can get some. I
there
know
you go. Thing. All right.
I'll
be back.
I am one person removed from Matthew McConaughey.
Wow.
I know. I'm two people removed from Elon Musk. Do you know that?
Jesus.
So, well, three, technically. My wife's hairdresser cuts Elon Musk's mom's hair.
My God.
And she lives in the West Village.
My wife has met Elon Musk. Does that make me close to him? She was a fundraiser for Oxford University for many years and met him.
Oxford doesn't need any
travels.
That's like being a fluffer for Charlie Sheen.
Well, they didn't need any help because, she was the help.
She was so good. There you go.
Exactly.
But she met young Elon.
She did.
Bless him.
She did. She thought he was a strange guy.
Lo and behold, he is. He's a strange guy.
Yeah. I think that's been confirmed.
Mr. Musk is quite self-aware.
That's for sure.
For the kind of person that he is.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. But no, okay, so vodka, gin. We've done the rums. Honestly, you'd have to get up very early to convince me that there's a better celebrity rum than Kiss Monstrum.
Agreed. I certainly enjoyed LeBron James's tequila.
We're into tequila. Yes.
Celebrity tequilas. Right, you look, don't want to even go down that rabbit hole. Look, but LeBron's was pretty good.
LeBron's was. Casamigos is a style of tequila that is not about ripe agave, which is kind of like having a single malt that's not about malted barley.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
And it's very successful. It's very happy. But, okay, let's stay in agave for a minute. Celebrity tequila.
I haven't had a lot of them because I try to avoid them.
And there's so many.
And there are so many.
So many.
There's one that we've both had that I think we both think is terrible. I don't know if we're allowed to say it.
Say it.
On the air. Sincoro.
Oh, it's so bad. It's Jesus. It's awful. Terrible.
Oh, and speaking of Elon Musk, Tesla tequila is not good.
Did you try it?
I have tried it, yes.
Yeah. No, I don't think he really cared. I think that was a bit of trolling.
No, really cool bottle.
No, Sincoro.
Not a cool tequila.
As tall as Michael Jordan is, that's how bad tequila is. It's horrendous. It's
and we are not alone in saying it is possibly the worst tequila we've ever had.
It's definitely down there. So there, we can't call it on agave spirits. We can decide which are the worst ones. All right, let's go on to mezcal. There's not a lot there. There's Dos Hombres, Bryan Cranston.
Right. Which is I admire him for that. Good. Oh, that's a shame. I've not tried it.
It's not good. I'm sorry, guys. It's not the worst. I've had worse, but it is not good. And then, is there some other celebrity mezcal? Write in on the back of a postcard to the Philip Duff Show if you know a celebrity. 99 Wall Street, Suite 1325, New York, New York, 1005. That's 99 Wall Street.
Self-addressed stamped envelope.
That's
and
right.
And send you back something.
Yeah, we'll send you back a signed photo of me and Tony.
There you go.
Somebody's going to do that, you know.
we'll get something.
All right, on from agave.
There's Steph Curry's bourbon.
Gentleman's Cut. I was going to say, let's just very carefully approach whiskey. Let's start with Irish.
All right.
So we've got
Proper 12 is perhaps, and that's Conor McGregor, his Irish whiskey, sourced from Bushmills. So don't know what went wrong there, but it is. God awful.
It's not even, it costs about $4 a liter and it's not even worth that. It's so bad. And I'm not saying that because of any animosity towards Conor McGregor, because I do also think he's a dick. Amazing fighter, great publicist for himself and all that kind of thing. But it's awful.
Right? It really
is. It's really bad. Have you tried the Four Walls whiskey from the Always Sunny in Philadelphia, guys?
I tried a very limited. I don't know if it's what they're selling. It was, you know, something that was limited to less than 1,000 bottles or something.
Because it's what I call everybody got high in the conference room whiskey. It's Irish whiskey with a bit of American rye.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've tried Proper Four Walls, but I tried a limited edition that was, and it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia whiskey, and I thought it was terrific.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like $1,000.
Well, we'll reserve judgment on that. Then there's Jean-Claude Van Damme's whiskey.
Wow.
He has an Irish whiskey.
Wow.
I know.
I never knew that Van Damme was an Irish name.
Yes.
Or Jean-Claude, for that matter.
The traditional Van Dammes of Northern Ireland are
wow.
a well-known tribe of my people. No, that's how hot the category is. I haven't tried it. We can't comment on it. In our world, Gillian Vose is a celebrity, and she's brought Indeed. Out a... Irish whiskey called Outwalker, which is delicious.
All right.
Yeah, it's made at the Great Northern Distillery in Dundalk, where I used to live many years ago. And it's very, very good. There's got to be a few more Irish ones, though.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Oh, there's one. It's with the actor Liev Schreiber. Do you know who that is?
Lev.
I believe. He's in like the TV series yes. Donovan.
Yes, he is.
And he's from...
He did an Irish whiskey?
Lev yeah. Schreiber? And apparently, as a celebrity, he sucks. He doesn't come to stuff. He doesn't talk. He just... Yeah, you know. The liquid,
there you
according
go.
To a friend who works for it, is pretty good. All right. Let's go from there over the road to Scotland. Celebrity Scotch.
Oh, does Slane Irish Whiskey?
It does
count as a celebrity.
Alex Cunningham of the
friend of celebrities, certainly
friend of the show. friend of
Great guy. I love drinking with him.
Yeah, I chatted with him.
His whiskeys are good.
Yeah, well, it's Brown-Forman. They know how to make whiskey.
Exactly.
God bless them. But yeah, let's go back over to
all right, back to Scotland.
Bonus Scotland.
There's got to be.
Are there
several
big celebrities behind Scotch?
There has to be, right? How could we not be thinking of any?
What's the TV series where it's like time traveling and everyone has a lot of sex? It's not Outlander. It's like, because those guys have a whiskey.
Oh, that guy.
You know what I mean, right?
Yes.
You don't know their names.
Is it Glenn Glasso?
No. I don't know who makes this, but.
No, it's not. You're right. But it's something that sounds vaguely like it. Yeah. And I went to an event and the guy was there, whose name I also can't remember.
Outlander.
Christine Sachs. Do we know Mr. Outlander guy?
Apparently all the ladies watch the show.
Very good looking.
Humongous.
Very good looking guy.
Like really so much. And I'm actually a source for the Outlander cocktail book, which will be in the shops for Christmas.
Dear God.
I know. It's a whole thing. No, really. I'm as amused as you are. Well, I think we can conclude, Anthony, that there's just not, if we can't even sum up one.
We did. We just can't remember what
the
hell
it
is.
Well, we can barely summon one. And there's like 168 stories in Scotland.
Yeah, exactly.
Scotland's not down there. We've got to move to America then. American celeb whiskey brands.
All right.
And then we crank up the differential once more.
Long Branch is no more.
It is no
more. I mean, it's still around, but it's just not Matthew McConaughey's whiskey at this point.
That collaboration is over. I mean, there's loads of D-list, you know, sports people.
Oh, in Scotland, we forgot about Haig single grain whiskey from David Beckham.
Which is also no more.
Oh, wow.
Haig
and
is
it was terrible.
It and yes. And to make it even worse, it did an orange version. But his name? He was seen on a boat with Ken Austin. And Ken Austin is a celeb dude. He did Terra Mana with The Rock. He did Avion Tequila with that TV show. I think he did Proper 12 too. Actually,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Ken is the celeb liquor whisperer. And word is...
Sassenach!
That's it. My man. But no, word is that Beckham's doing a tequila.
All right.
You heard it on the Philip Duff Show first.
Well, there you go.
Early breaking news.
So Sassenach is a premium blended Scotch whiskey created by Sam Hugin.
Of Outlander. Hey, yes. Google. All right, Google.
There you go.
Celebrity bourbon brands.
All right.
Let's see where we come out here.
Because
we have to, let's not even talk about the, so-and-so who played third string for the Detroit Falcons in 1986.
Well, there's Chris Stapleton, country singer extraordinaire.
We've got to exclude the country people, too, because no one knows who they are.
Yeah,
they sell out arenas.
That's true.
Like, who the hell is Morgan Wallen?
I don't know who Eric Church is, and he's done a million whiskeys.
Yeah, we have to cater to our listeners here, Tony.
All right. And they do not include country singers. All right. Here we go. Derek Jeter has his own.
Well, Derek Jeter's.
Oh, of course, there's Heaven's Door.
Mr. Robert Dylan, which started off crap.
Yes, it was terrible.
Has it improved? Do you know?
I got to taste it before it was released because they wanted my opinion. Because apparently,
fools.
I know. They're like, he knows what he's talking about? No, not really. But I thought it was awful. Everything I tasted was terrible. And now some of them are good. Some are eh. And there are a couple of, you know, limited editions that are really good. And
sounds like they're flooding the field.
But then there was one, man, they did it a few. This is just a good anecdote because anytime I get paid a decent amount of money, I like to talk about it on the Philip Duff Show. Almost never. That's why I remember
once, twice a year.
It was a few years ago. Heaven's Door asked me to review a limited edition whiskey. And I said, you got to send it to me. And if I like it, I'll tell you. And they sent it to me. I thought it was very good. Finished, I think, in rum casks. And I said, yeah, this is really good. I'll review it. And I sent a sentence or two saying what I thought of it, just offhanded. And I said, all right, I'm ready. Come on. Tell me how long my review should be. And they said, oh, no. The sentence you sent in the email is fine. Here's $1,000. And I thought, if only life was like this.
That's your biggest ever payday.
Seriously. That was amazing. Took me 15 seconds. And I thought, if I can make $1,000 for 15 seconds of work, man, I'd be in a different line of work, obviously.
I think you need to start an OnlyFans.
Clearly.
That's
clearly
what you sell. That is a kind of niche filth.
I have to get waxed first.
The OnlyFans was built
for. I'm way too hairy. Yeah. All right. Right. Jamie Foxx has a bourbon.
It's not exactly a bourbon.
It's not exactly
brown
a bourbon. It's
sugar
a bourbon. Exactly. It's mostly brown sugar.
For someone, the dude can dance. He can sing.
He can do pretty
he's
much anything.
He's a stand-up, except... and that prick can act as well. And he's got something. Even if it's a very good example of what it is, it's not great.
No. I have refused.
And they've just relaunched it. Like, he's had to re...
Oof.
Yeah.
That's always bad news.
Let's say that Mr. Foxx has made some bad choices there. And let's gloss along to the next one.
All right, we've got Drake's Canadian whiskey.
Which is apparently quite basic, but okay.
But a great-looking bottle.
Well, Drake's he's a big star, so that's fair.
Indeed. All right, country singer, somebody I've never heard of.
If you haven't heard of him, I won't have either.
Scottie Pippen's bourbon.
Who the hell is Scottie? Okay.
Scottie Pippen, famous basketball player from the 90s.
Yeah, no.
So if you were in America in the 90s, you would not have known about him.
Move on.
Terry Bradshaw's bourbon.
Move
on. Do
we
know him? All right. So we're talking athletes. Derek Jeter's Bespoken Spirits. Wow. I had no idea. Why have I not been approached?
What's that? Come on. Is there anybody there whose name would elicit in London? Or Hong Kong? Or...
John Wayne's kids started a Duke bourbon. That doesn't count.
I did hear about the Duke bourbon, actually.
All right. Steph Curry's Gentleman's Cut. I met him with Alan Katz.
You told me.
That was pretty impressive.
Did they serve curry, though?
They did not. They really should have.
Apparently, when he plays in San Francisco, sales of curry go up.
I'll bet.
I know. It's nominative determinism.
Peyton Manning and Andy Roddick.
Nope.
Tennis player and a football player. That's kind of cool. And Bob Dylan's Heaven's Door. So really, there's not a whole hell of a lot here.
All right. Okay.
We've got, let's see. I'm trying to think of who else we've got.
We've done vodka, gin, rum, tequila.
Oh, rum. There's Sammy Hagar's Beach Bum Rum.
Now that's a celeb tequila. And also he has a collaboration with Guy Fieri. Which
yes.
is Mezquila.
Mezquila.
Which
and they're doing Santo still proof. I think it's 110 proof tequila.
Yeah, for that he should be shot. Not the still proof tequila, the mezcal tequila macho.
Mezquila. And he said he did it because he does not like mezcal. So he wanted to, you know, tone it down with a little tequila.
But how about if you don't like mezcal?
How about not doing
not
a mezcal?
Making a mezcal.
But this is why he's rich and, you know, we're not.
Yeah, that's true. He's also a fucking amazing axeman.
There you go. He's a good guy. I had a nice chat with him not too long ago. And one day an article will come out of that.
I know. I could have great fun going drinking with Elon Musk. I just never want to work for him.
Yeah. There you go. Now let's see. Who else we got? So celebrity rums. Are there any celebrity rums?
No, we already did this.
Oh, we did.
Now we're on to weird shit like liqueurs and vermouth and wine.
Well, there's cognacs.
Yes.
I still want to try Ludacris's cognac.
Conjure?
Yes, that he supposedly blended himself. That's why I'm totally intrigued.
Why would it be weird that somebody would come in and be able to do something that it takes about 20 years to learn? Well, 50 Cent is actually suing Beam Suntory in a sort of a very similar thing to how Diddy sued... Diageo, because he's got a brand
Diageo.
That you've never heard of, nor I, called Branson Cognac. And he's like, yeah, like they were illegally undercutting one another, cutting them out. It's this whole thing.
Wow.
It's actually quite advanced business. He's clearly, you know, quite sharp and on top of things. But like, I've never even heard of this brand or seen it. And if I haven't heard of it, seen it, and you haven't heard of it or seen it, it's like, okay, maybe it's selling somewhere.
Somehow I doubt it, though.
Yeah. But no,
just
okay,
take it as a write-off, 50 Cent.
Celebrity
Kanye. Sell your vitamin water, for God's sake.
Doucet.
Not a bad cognac.
I mean, it's made at the Bisquit distillery. Yes. Bisquit's a fucking top notch.
Exactly. So it's basically Otard.
Yeah. You can't say tard anymore.
No.
Because of woke.
Well, I'm feeling a bit tarred after all this booze. Thank you.
Dude, this is only the glide.
I know. Here. Good God. We still have to get served by Brian Miller. Let's see.
I mean, any other celebrity booze outside gin, rum, tequila, vodka, whiskey, cognac?
There's got to be a couple of other
celebrity
cognacs.
Is there a celebrity
cognac.
Pisco? Is there a celebrity liqueur? Is there a celebrity aquavit? Is there a celebrity Geneva? No, of course there is.
There is. I'm sitting with him right now.
Modesty forbids, but yes, obviously. I'm very big in the Geneva world, which is 400 hairy dudes.
Yeah, exactly.
But still, I'm a god in that room.
And of course, we've tried three celebrity rums in the last 45 minutes, and we kind of glossed them all over. But because we tried them, we've already talked about them.
Well, we started off with a tasting of the world's newest celebrity vodka, which won't launch until September.
There you go. God,
but the liquid would be amazing.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah.
And boy, I wish I could talk about who it is.
It's absolutely not expendable.
Ha! No, I think we're stuck. Unless.
No, in the sense that, well, actually, we just look at Tony's wall.
Yeah, we look at the wall.
Yeah, if this is a celebrity booze, they sent it to you. Okay,
Not seeing anything.
I don't think no. Well, you wouldn't display it anyway.
Well, we've got my Bob Dylan signed Heaven's Door whiskey up there.
Robert, what's his surname actually?
Zimmerman.
There we go. I mean, does it get more Jewish than that?
Not at all. You've
got a bottle that still says Plantation. That's your retirement fund right there.
Oh, there you go. Because Plantaray is going to just take off.
If they could only have registered Plantera.
Indeed.
Which was their other option.
Well, I'll tell you, off the record, on the Philip Duff Show, which is a podcast being listened to by lots of people.
We don't edit this, by the way, so it's going out.
Somebody who shall remain nameless, and even if you guessed who it was, I wouldn't say a word.
It's not Guillaume, is it?
Nope.
All right.
He told me that Plantation reached out to him and said, all right, here's our reboot. We are going to call it Plant Nation, and sent a mock-up of the logo. And this person said, that is just really, really stupid, given that sugarcane is not a plant. It's a reed.
Now we're agronomists, are we?
Indeed.
I mean, come
on. Indeed. There are no plants in rum, so...
There's no crying in rum.
And there's no... I've cried into my rum, probably.
I do.
And here's my daughter, Vivienne Sachs.
Superstar.
Future booze maven. Hopefully not a booze writer, though.
Your actual retirement fund.
Yeah. Yes, fingers crossed. So there you go. It was going to be Plant Nation.
Well, it's obviously an iteration on Plantation. This sounds like a Dr. Seuss. But no, they registered Plantera, and that got beaten down with
They will do a celebrity rum. Of course, Few Spirits, they do celebrity.
I was actually going to bring you some today.
Damn.
There is a test bottle, because Paul Holetko, the master distiller for Few Spirits, for which company my wife runs a lot of things, they've done a ton of collaborations, and the newest one is a dude from the Smashing Pumpkins.
Good God.
And he has a tea brand, or he likes tea. I can't quite work it out. So there's a few been proofed down to bottling strength with cold brew coffee. There's another few in the regular assortment that's been proofed down from still strength to bottling strength with Immortals Oolong Tea.
Oh, that I haven't seen. I've seen the coffee one.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's the new one that's just out, and we're talking hand-label bottles for Mrs. Duff, which is this Smashing Pumpkin dude's rose tea.
Man, I wonder which guy it is.
There's
Billy Corgan, the bald guy, the singer. There's James Iha, who I don't remember what he did in that band.
And then there's everyone else.
Jimmy Chamberlain, the drummer.
Yeah.
It's one of those three.
Yeah. No, I don't know which one it is either. Mrs. Duff pours me something and I just forget.
Why I know the names of all the members of Smashing Pumpkins when I don't even really like them. I don't know. Yeah. I guess I grew up in the 90s.
If you ever grew up at all, Tony.
There you go.
Yeah. And that's it's pretty tasty stuff. I'm just not a tea guy, so it's not my thing.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem. I really did like Few Spirits' Alice in Chains whiskey.
Oh, that was very good.
Yes, very nice.
It was very good, actually. All right, we've got one more thing to drink and talk about. And then we have to go and see Mr. Miller.
So time's getting on here.
What shall it be? If we can have one dram, let's say we'll pour it over some of that delightful clear ice that Prosera Gin procured for us.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't even have to be good, Tony. It just has to be interesting.
Let's see. Got to find something. All right.
Oh, I'll get the glasses.
Yes, you get the glasses.
I will get the glasses. And
I'm going to go look for a spirit. Because by golly... got so much stuff here.
And while Tony's got
that we need to try.
I'm in his kitchen putting some nice stuff clear that we forgot.
All right. I'm going to give Philip a choice.
There we go.
Our glass bottles together.
And I think we're going to have a little bit of Badger Beverages. This is the new range soda, tonic, ginger ale, ginger beer, and whatnot. That was actually consulted on by none other than friend of the show, Gillian Vos. Gillian,
this is great.
Regular listeners will know, was the head bartender of the Dead Rabbit. She was previously the head bartender of a place you may have heard of called Death and Company. Before that,
never heard of Death and Company.
She was integral in Maison Premier, basically. She's pretty fucking awesome. And we have the range of the mixers here, the Badger Bevs, as they are called. And very good, too.
I would like to interject here, Mr. Duff.
Interject,
because
Mr.
Sachs.
Because
this was fascinating. At the latest iteration of Drink Tony's Liquor,
mm-hmm.
guests were offered, upon entry, either a Prosera Martini or a Prosera Gin & Tonic. And the entire crowd, which was
There was one gin and tonic.
All right, there was one gin and tonic.
But it was 14 martinis. 14 martinis. To one.
And this is bartenders. This is writers. This is brand people. They all selected the martini. And I thought it was just me, because you always hear about how popular the gin and tonic is now. But I'm heartened, I've got to say.
I think people wanted to have a martini from me.
I am not arguing.
But no, it was Prosera gin made with always fresh juniper berries harvested a mere 55 kilometers from the distillery in Nairobi, Kenya. And people fucking dug it. And also, the whole idea of it was, it's so overwhelming to walk into Drink Tony's Liquor when there's like 900 bottles of wild-ass shit, that you just want to have a glass in your hand so you can relax and meet all these people, because not everybody knows everybody.
That's
like you
for
and
sure.
I. So... you have pulled out the All juice, right. the juice of my country, my people.
Method and Madness, Irish whiskey, finished in Virgin Garryana oak barrels, which has nothing to do with Ireland at all.
Very few virgins in Ireland, to be honest.
Agreed.
And Method and Madness, for the occasional civilian listener, is sort of the experimental distilling arm of Irish distillers based at Middleton. Near Youghal in County Cork in Ireland. They make experimental types of whiskey. They've even made a gin.
They got some great looking
It's in
bottles.
A very iconoclastic bottle, ribbed for your pleasure. And this is a spa whiskey. So this is totally... I like the way that Tony poured me less than he poured himself. Cheers, mate. Yeah.
There you go. Let's see what happens.
Usually fine. Let's have a look at that. I didn't actually listen while you were speaking.
Oh, there you go.
So
my wife tells me that all the time.
So single pot still, oak barrels, 46% alcohol. Let's see.
Finished in West Coast of America, that is, not Ireland, Garryana barrels.
It is not, yeah. Where's Garryana?
Garayana is Pacific Northwest oak, or I believe, because Westland uses it all the time.
Really?
In fact, their Garayana barrel-aged whiskey is among the most popular American single malts.
Well, I would love to read this in an Irish accent, but this is as Irish as I sound. Traditional single-pot still whiskey from the Middleton Micro Distillery, triple distilled using traditional methods and matured in bourbon casks before finishing in virgin Garayana oak barrels from the USA. Their unique profile imparts earthier tones to complement the traditional pot still style. I can only do a Liam Neeson. I can't do an Irish accent from where I'm actually from. A very particular set of barrels here.
There you go.
If you give me the whiskey, that'll be the end of it.
Well done. Taken.
I will find you and I will kill you.
A few years ago, my wife was in a play where she had to do an Irish accent and I believe consulted with you.
She didn't. You asked me.
I consulted
when
with
we
you.
Had a drink. And I kind of explained that the general thing is, which also happened during the movie Black Panther, is that people, you know, they study Irish accents of various Irish people and they amalgamate them into one. So it sounds Irish enough for other people. Like in the Black Panther universe, it's really confusing to watch Black Panther if you're African, because you're like, why is there a fucking Ugandan bodyguard? And there's a dude from Tanzania. Like they can spot all the accents.
Sure. I like this very much. And I'm sure the Garayana imparts something interesting in there.
Well, the whole thing of it was a bit of tax evasion that you put in for Irish pot still whiskey. You put in a bit of unmalted barley. But it contributes a fruity and a green note that really you shouldn't overshadow by any barrel, I feel. Because why else would you do it?
Exactly.
It's like, yeah. But no, they've put out a lot of releases that I didn't like. This is very good. Like Redbreast. Redbreast has releases that boggle my mind. They've had three releases that are sort of like, they call them international collaborations. And it's always like an Irish barrel and another barrel. And the first one was called Lav a Mano, which means hand in hand.
Yes.
But only if you can speak both Irish and Spanish.
Wow.
Lav means hand in Irish, and mano, a mano, means in hand in Spanish. So
I thought it was clean your hand. Lavar. I think lavar.
No, lav is hand in Irish.
Right. But it's also clean in Spanish. So clean your hands.
Right.
Drink this whiskey.
What I'm saying is the Venn diagram at the middle of people who speak both Irish and Spanish and might drink whiskey has to be about like 12 people.
Yep.
And this is what they went with.
And that's the whiskey for them.
I want to see the name they turned down in favor of that. Because there's some people who were like, no, that's stupid. Let's go with the one that's Irish and Spanish instead. Like, it's mad.
That's what you told me about McQueen and the Violet Fog.
Yes.
Gin. You said there's got to be a name that they rejected in favor
of McQueen and the Violet Fog. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's maybe why we need Steve Jobs type people and Elon Musk people. Because they don't care about being rude. They don't care about people's feelings. They care about making something awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, famously, both of those people, they would come into a meeting and there'd be people they didn't know there, which if you're the boss of a big organization like Elon Musk, I'm sure happens all the time. I'd say, hey, who are you?
Right.
Right. And he would like say, hey, look, you shouldn't be here. Just go. Which is genius.
And that is kind of genius.
We need more of that.
We need less of Elon Musk being an asshole, but we need more business acumen.
Yeah, but you gotta take the rough with the smooth, you know? Like Henry Ford, not a great person, but oh my God, he invented the production line.
The Model T is still pretty great. The anti-Semitism, not so great.
Yeah, but you can't go home again.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get it both ways. Like, and also, nobody survives history. Your ancestors were dicks and so were mine.
There you go. That's why my ancestors got the hell out of Russia. Actually, there's a great story behind that.
There is.
There is.
I actually watched a bit of the Baz Luhrmann Great Gatsby last night when I got home late. And it was
a film much beloved by my daughter.
Really?
Yes, who is now obsessed with flappers and moonshiners. Speaking of shows that Philip Duff has been on.
Well, I don't like
those. She knows about speakeasies.
Episode 4, series 4, episode 12. did you tell her I opened the first one in Holland?
No, I did not tell her that. I will.
This is the rehabilitation of my image.
There you
go.
Of your daughter. There you go. I mean, she did speak to you that one time.
I know how important that is. That's a big deal with a kid. No, I don't. I mean, Gatsby, it was just the original Robert Redford and Faye Dunaway.
I haven't seen that either.
Well, she was like 8 months pregnant, so they had to like drape her and shit.
Oh, dear.
But Redford was a good Gatsby. Arguably, DiCaprio's a better one. I love the book. He wrote better books, but that's the one I love. And he was a bootlegger. Gatsby made his money by bootlegging, so I can't hate that.
Exactly. I have to see. I don't have to see it.
What's a Baz Luhrmann thing?
Exactly. Like, I'm not a fan of Baz Luhrmann.
If Viv loves Gatsby, she should watch Romeo and Juliet and Moulin Rouge.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
She should do the whole thing.
He brings that thing.
Razzmatazz.
Moxie.
Call it.
Spunk.
Spunk.
Kids got moxie. It's like
joie de vivre.
It's like all the people talking about, like, you know, the old showbiz agents on the kids got moxie. Check out the wheels on that broad.
What a tomato.
Yeah. She's a good kid.
I love my wife, but oh, you kid.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Ah, good times.
That's when the casting couch was an essential part of furniture.
Indeed. Indeed. I think we're winding down here.
We have to.
It's turning into a couple of white guys rambling. That's what we started out as.
The show has always been that, Mr. Sachs. So we are going to wrap up and go and see Brian Miller at the Vine Pair offices on 244 Fifth Avenue, 7th floor. But we'd just like to remind you that if you enjoyed this podcast, support the people who support us. Go to your bar and ask your bartender if Prosira Gin is right for you. 44% ABV.
It's only not right for you if you don't have a liver.
Yeah. Yeah. If you happen to be a pussy ass bitch, then don't drink proper gin. But if you want the finest gin the African continent has ever expressed, made with juniper berries that only grow in sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East, plucked a mere 55 kilometers from the distillery, distilled, always fresh and never dried. Wow.
And founder Guy Brennan is a new father. He's got another mouth to feed now.
That's right. So this is not just your enjoyment. It's social responsibility too. Have your Prosera gin with tonic in a Gibson or a martini, or even, if you're a bit weird, in an Alaska. But drink Prosera gin.
If you go to La Rock, ask for a Prosera Alaska.
Ooh, Prosera Alaska.
And ask for a Stelbossi.
Over and out.
Ciao.